It is the Monday edition. We're all in our places with sunshiny faces. So this is the way we start a new day with the Packers. If the season ended today in the National Football Conference playoffs as the seventh and final seed in the NFC. The back-to-back wins over first-place teams. Green Bay Packers, what are you doing here? Edition. And the, I want to see, I know Jesse was checking with Hunter to make sure the phones were working. I want to see if we can have full phone lines when great things are happening or if that only happens when things suck. Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. I don't like this camera angle, Jesse.
Too much Wilde.
Way too much Wilde.
Well, showing that leg.
Very white legs. Yes.
Showing them legs off.
If there's something that'll drive people away from the TV copy, it's that. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Unfortunately, today, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. I saw a blanket over there. I'm going to put that over my legs for the second segment.
That'll work. No.
Like my grandma sitting in her old chair. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com on the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jace Wilde in Green Bay. I'm always in Green Bay, but I'm not always joined by these two. Jesse Nelson is here. Hunter Vaughn is producing the program in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And in the seat next to me, I saw him last night. He was posing for photos. He was hanging out with Frankie Bag of Donuts. Then he was hanging out with Taylor Swift. He's the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch. Nice Tito's vest.
Yeah, new scarf.
New scarf. That's brand new.
Saw Courtney over the weekend at a holiday party.
You didn't give me one? You've been promising me a scarf since we started this show.
I might give you this one.
Oh.
I might. Maybe not.
I have to wash it first.
I already spilled on it. I
was just going to say, I have to wash it first.
It was a long night last night. So a good night, though. A good night. And I'm a little surprised. We did our little jingle recap out when you were doing your pregame show. We were supposed to. Green Bay Packers won. We're supposed to be outside.
Yeah, we did not agree to that.
And as is fair with our group, democracy rules, I was outvoted 2-1.
You didn't really want to do it anyway.
I didn't. I did not.
I appreciate
think,
Ron.
And if I'm shooting straight, I did not think Green Bay was going to beat Kansas City last night. I'm much like everybody else that did not think that was going to happen. But then as you watch the game, and as I said on the post game last night, Green Bay was better.
They were.
They were better in all phases. Matt LaFleur ate Spagnuolo's lunch last night as far as being ahead of what he's a blitzer. They had the answers to it, and Jordan was better than Pat Mahomes last night.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a better player. So you factor all those things in. It was a heck of a win, and as I told Homer last night, you get a really good glimpse of the fans, intoxicated and all, walking out of a packed stadium after a big win. And there is not a – there's – obviously everybody now believes it's a playoff team. You do. I do. Jesse does. That is now baked into the cake. I heard other terms being thrown around, which I think is out. It's too much.
Now, wait a minute. This is not how this story was presented to me at about 1:03 a.m.
This morning.
The beautiful
thing is you have tape. You can go back and watch. What I told Homer is I was listening to fans that were intoxicated.
I'm not going there, but no, I'm kind of going there.
No, I did not go there. All I said, and what I'm trying to relay, again, I like listening to what our fans have to say. I don't always agree with
them.
Sure,
so do I. Yep.
I will speak what I think. What I believe about this football team right now is there is not one team in the NFC that wants to touch, that would prefer any other team in the playoffs to play. That's all I said. San Francisco is not afraid of Green Bay. I've said that clearly.
Okay.
Philadelphia don't want anything to do with Green Bay. Dallas, you know they don't want anything to do with Green Bay. They don't. San Fran, they don't care, but if they could pick, they just boat race Philly at home by 30, 20, whatever it was. they would rather play Philly again than Grant. That's all I'm saying as I'm sitting here today, because of the way this team has showcased itself the last 2 weeks, and they know that their quarterback's getting better. The young team, I do not think Green Bay is going to win a Super Bowl this year. I don't. I'm not going to tell fans not to believe they can't. That's all I'm saying. That is all I said. What are you shaking your head about?
Well, because I know maybe you were caught up in the euphoria a little bit. We'll have to check the tape.
Go ahead.
Because listen. Gabe and Homer, and I know it was in the wee small hours of the morning, so maybe that's part of it too. But they did make it sound like you cut. Remember, was it last week or 2 weeks ago where you said, "I'm not saying, I'm just saying." That was your thing. It sounded like it had morphed into, "I'm not going there." But
I said
that's what you said. That's what I was told you said.
I said I'm not going there.
All
I'm saying is that this is a really dangerous team, and nobody wants any part of them. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so help me out with this, because you played 11 years in the league. I was telling the story this morning to someone that, again, I am not a fan. That is not my job. I personally believe to do this job, and I know there's others who don't believe the same thing I do. That's fine. They're entitled to believe that. But I believe to do this job properly, you have to be able to divorce yourself from rooting for the home team. And everyone knows that I hold grudges, and I still hate Michelle Tafoya to this day for not apologizing.
Hate's pretty strong.
No, it's...
You hate her?
I do, yeah.
You don't like
Here's
why.
No, that's not why. I didn't even know about those when I hated her.
But that's a part
no,
of it, too.
It certainly doesn't help. Okay, but so I would say this. When she didn't apologize, when the easy route was to say, hey, I didn't mean to make you guys look bad. That's not what I meant. And when she doubled down, it went from dislike to hate. Like, okay. She could have just been nice. But, again, she once said, in 2004, which is 19 years ago, that the home the media in Green Bay roots for the home team.
There's a lot of you guys do.
No, I would argue that there's a lot of them that root against them.
That's getting into the weeds.
We are. So, if I may.
Yeah.
What I thought was great last night, because, look, it is way more fun. 6-6, having won 4 out of 5, and trying to get Matt LaFleur to do his Jim Mora imitation and asking Jordan Love where his mom sat at this game, that's fun. Mm-hmm. And it was fun to watch. I want to know, who are these guys? Because you were going after the head coach, mm-hmm. and now he's scheming guys open left and right. Jordan Love looked indecisive and ineffective. And now he's throwing dimes, and he looks like he knows what he's doing, and he looks like, if we're going to start getting into contract extensions, Goody and Russ are sitting upstairs going, okay, I think we've seen enough now, right? So these are the things that are happening that you would not have a month ago predicted. And I thought what was the most interesting thing, and tell me, help me understand this, because I know he has to say there are no moral victories. Mm-hmm. But we on this show, and I was adamant, that something changed with that Pittsburgh game. Mm-hmm. Matt LaFleur told Jordan Love, let it rip. But Matt LaFleur, from a play-calling perspective, also let it rip. And he admitted last night that in that game, something just felt different. And ever since then, they are playing a different type of ball. And there's not many instances over the time I've covered this team where they have looked so Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde-ish as they are through these four games versus what they look like, even in that Rams game where they won because Brett Rypien played and Jordan Love didn't screw up. He dinked and dunked his way all the way down the field. They only scored 20 points. They weren't that impressive. But they look like a completely different team now offensively.
They do, and Matt LaFleur deserves a ton of credit. And by the way, Matt LaFleur deserves every bit of blame and grief that anyone gave him, because the young team, when he decided to tell these young players enough, we are going to trust you, and you guys need to start playing like professionals. Once that happened, and I think it was around that Steeler game, everything's changed. They start believing in themselves. The coaches start believing in them. And now you see a synergetic group that is much earlier developed than I think we all thought. I think there was always going to be the growing pains and all of those things. But Jordan Love has elevated his game, and it's not a coincidence that this is all coming back with Elgton Jenkins being healthy and Zach Tom being healthy and the line playing much
blocking
better.
It up, no doubt.
All of that other stuff, scheming guys open and everything else, you got the guys that are playing good ball up front, and when that happens, you can execute offensively. But Matt LaFleur deserves every flower bouquet you can get because he's held this team together, he's harnessed it, and he's gotten these guys to believe that they can beat anybody. And when you beat the world champions, and it's not really, it's nothing fluky, it's we're better, all of a sudden everybody today is going in there, you got a bounce in your step, and you start believing you can do some crazy big things. That's all I'm saying.
844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. We will take your calls. I know Hunter's already got one. If you're being honest, since you said that we would do the show outside today if they won.
Yeah, I would have.
House.
Let's do it.
No.
No.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you. No. I'm saying.
I'm going to need more than that blanket, that's for sure.
It's not that cold.
How,
it's beautiful.
How surprised are you that we're about to have these types of conversations on this show today?
I'm surprised. I am not surprised that this team is going to be knocking at the playoff door because of the schedule. I did not think that they'd go 3-0 in this stretch. Hardest part of the schedule by far when we looked at it. Chargers at Detroit here against Kansas City. When you can win all three, especially the way you were playing in the October might have been one of the worst months of offensive Packer football I've seen.
Right, Raiders, Broncos
it
games.
It was just bad ball. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. But to pull out of it and be as efficient, and Jordan Love, he can't throw. He's inaccurate. He's 55%. It's been 68, 69, and 68, I think, in the last 3 weeks.
Over the last five games, his completion percentage is 66.2.
We will take that all day. And his confidence is growing. The teammates obviously is too. So I am very surprised that we're sitting here at 6-6 right now. I thought it was going to be a battle, scraping, get to 8 or 9 wins and sneak in and then see where you're at. Now, this team has elevated itself into the tier two group of the NFC football division. And you have one big dog, in my opinion, with the San Francisco 49ers. And then you have the Dallas Cowboys and Philadelphia Eagles, who I would still put ahead of Green Bay for the record, but I'm not putting Detroit ahead of them. And I think I'm leaving it right there. I think the gap is going to be too big, but this team, are you going to be shocked if they end up 11-6? I'm not. 8 in a row? I'm not. They're going to be favored the rest of the way. Do I now, if I'm Matt LaFleur, hypersensitive? It's really easy to have everybody cranked up to play against Mahomes and Swift and Kelce and everybody here.
Mm-hmm.
It is not going to be easy to get this team to stay as hungry and as focused when they're playing Bobby DeVito, Danny DeVito, whatever DeVito.
Tommy
DeVito against a god-awful New York team on a Monday night. That is going to be the next challenge for a young football team, is handling success, which I remember Mike McCarthy telling us in the first meeting he ever met with his team, that was going to be the biggest challenge. This team is still young and naive, and I don't know any better, which is awesome. But you're going to start having the expectation game now come on you. You haven't had that, and that is a big burden. But they're young enough, I don't think they're going to care.
No.
And that's the beauty, and that you ride that out as long as you can, because at some point they will. And this is going to be a heck of a week from a challenge standpoint that that Matt LaFleur and his staff have to do, because this team is flying high. And when you're young, that's great, but you better have your antennas up, because Bobby DeVito and the boys, they're going to now look at the Green Bay Packers as a big-time win again if they can find a way to do it.
Who is Bobby DeVito?
I don't know why I keep calling
like,
him
I could
Bobby.
See, I could see Danny. I expected you to go Danny DeVito.
So what is his first name?
Tommy.
Okay, I'll remember it the rest of the week.
Kind of like Gina. Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
And Santa. Santa's been talking about a very special gift you can unwrap now.
It's a baby talk
very
again.
Special. But you don't have to pay it for a year and a half. You can let Pella replace your leaky windows and doors while you put no money down and make no payments with no interest for 18 months. It's a year and a half. And Pella's elves, they're little beautiful elves, they install year-round and can finish installation in as little as a day. But hurry up. This incredible deal ends on December 31st. You can schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details.
Remember the time when we did positives and negatives, and it was like we're talking about how Daniel Whelan punted and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's not going to be the case today. Positives and negatives, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. 76. Tausch, Jesse, and I will each give ours in each category, and then we will get to your calls. So if you want to get lined up, you got some time to stay on hold. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Hunter Vaughn is standing by waiting for your call. More live from the Tundra Trio in the shadow of Lambeau Field, where the Green Bay Packers defeated the defending Super Bowl champs on Sunday Night Football, a game we thought at one point might get flexed out.
Mm-hmm.
Not the case, and a huge win for Jordan Love of the Packers, 27-19. Not a scoreigami.
Not a scoreigami.
No, it's not even
45-15 was a scoreigami yesterday.
I'm aware that you're aware. More, it's Wilde and Tausch.
From a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch, Tito's Handmade Vodka is there on game day for every fan. Find cocktail recipes at titosvodka.com. 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly.
We have 9 calls on hold.
So winning is good.
Winning is good. Look, there were some times when they won, it wasn't good for calls.
No, that was when it was like, oh.
They won. They beat
the
Rams.
Oh, they won, but they didn't play great. And it was, so-and-so didn't do such-and-such and blah, blah, blah.
So let's get to our positives and negatives so we can get to your positives and negatives as Hunter lines up all the calls. 844-770-3776. Tausch, start us off. Let's start with the negatives.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not a very long list.
Yeah, I was just thinking through like the negatives, and you know, being at the game, I didn't watch the broadcast, which sounded like it was very pro Kansas City. So that would have probably been negative. I'm not the officiating; it was average. Like there's mistakes made. I definitely the pass interference. There was pass interference on Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Right,
could have. That was a god awful late hit call. That was not a late hit on Patrick.
Still
Mahomes.
Still in bounds.
So you know what? It kind of evens itself out.
Even Steven.
So that's why I'm not going to get like overly blah about that. But from a negative standpoint, help me out. What is negative? The run game still not great, not as probably as consistent outside of the jet sweep game. But that is really kind of picking at it.
Yeah, it is.
I thought that Green Bay schemed and just had Spagnuolo on kind of that's what you want to do. You don't want to get in a position where it's 3rd and 7+ and you can unleash what he wanted to do. They stayed out of that. They maintained the football. I don't have a negative.
Wow.
I don't. help me out.
They gave up 110 rushing yards to Pacheco.
Yeah. They gave up 19 points.
Yeah.
You have one of the all-time great quarterbacks. You got to give and take a little bit. I think that's a pretty good give and take.
I understand. It wasn't a game that didn't have a single flaw, though.
No, like, there's always flaws. I told you, NBC's broadcast, but I don't watch it. I just am going off.
The broadcast is what we're talking about.
All right, I've got one, and it pains me to do this, and I hope on Wednesday that when we talk to our friend Brian Bulaga, the original 75, that he has other plays that Sean Ryan was better on. But they decide in the fourth quarter that the time has come to give Sean Ryan his series.
Mm-hmm.
And on the second play,
Whiff City.
He whiffs. And again, fortunately, and I know that I'm a helicopter beat writer, but this is a really good front with a really good blitz system that the offensive line did a really good job of keeping at bay. Like, there were a couple of hits that Jordan took, but not very many. Mm-hmm. Like, they owned Steve Spagnuolo and that front.
Big Jonesy, they did a pretty good, doggone good job
on
him, too.
But that play, that was, and I like, I want to see Sean Ryan get more opportunities. He didn't help himself on that play.
No, it's always fun to be that backup when you get in there and you can just fly off the ball and you're
right.
Running. Playing O-line's hard.
Everyone can do it.
Not making a bunch of mistakes is much more important than having like one great block or
right.
I'm going to have 35 really good blocks. I'm going to take 35 really good blocks, then one great one and three bad ones. That's that mindset, and that's obviously, again, I'm not one of these guys that say coaches and GMs always get it right, but I know how much more time and effort and what they're about, that they're going to put the best players out there. This isn't a, oh, shucks, let's get Johnny some minutes at the end of a fifth-grade basketball game. It's big-time business, and we need to kick blank and take blank. So you're going to put
– it's a lot of blank and
you're
blank.
You're going to put the best
blank
players –
me.
It's like the LaFleur video in the locker room I was watching from last night.
You're going to put the best players on the field that you see doing it daily. Runyon has done that, and that's why I never got up in arms when Ryan isn't getting reps. Did I like seeing him get some opportunities? Yeah. And I think he's done better than I think even probably they anticipated. But you still – offensive line play is much more about – not making a big mistake than it is about dominating.
Yeah. Because you can have 65 good plays, and if you have three bad ones, just no one notices the 65
good ones.
It's about
just – it's about being consistent. That's what it is. And I don't think he's there yet. I think they feel John Runyon's much more consistent.
All right. Since we've covered most of the negatives, I do want to ask about the officiating from this perspective. You have said many times that the NFL, now that the wagering component – I see our buddy Rob Domofsky tweeting out what ESPN bet had for this and that and the next thing. And this is everywhere now. It is pervasive. Does this influence how we are looking at officiating? Because there were many, 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 many people on social media.
You're saying but not saying?
I'm not.
This is the new thing. When you do
that's
this.
That's what you've made it, yes.
No, that's what people are saying.
No. What I am saying is that you have to make sure that there is not even the appearance of impropriety, and I think they just blew those two calls. Okay, let me be clear. I don't think anybody's on the take. I'm not saying that, okay. Nor am I saying it without saying it. But the problem is that now the officiating is going to be scrutinized at an even higher level than it. And it wasn't like before. It wasn't scrutinized, right? We had all kinds of times where we talk about the tuck rule and everything else. But when you see those two moments back to back, do you think that the NFL, with the way betting has now come into their game, has some challenges ahead of figuring out how to make sure that this is not an issue?
They have challenges, but they, you know, on that fumble that was returned at the end, they're obviously just sitting there listening to New York and saying, oh, we better do this. We better do this. Officiating is always going to be tough.
It is.
Judgment calls, mm-hmm. And I don't want replay on them for 100 reasons. They tried it. It sucked. Do the best you can, and you better make sure that things are about as even, Steven, as they can be. Or you're always – people are always going to say things are, oh, they want Pat Mahomes. They want this. Yeah, that's life. That's something that on the good take side of it, Jordan Love, if he continues on – we'll be the benefactor of that, too. Great players get more calls. It's life. You have to overcome it. Get great players. That helps. And you can try and try to make it as even as you can. There's going to be mistakes, and people will always look at it and say, well, you want this. You want Taylor Swift here. You want this. That's always going to be a part of it. But with replay and with what is it called, Sky Judge type deal, you're going to get things more right than you would have. I think at the end of a game, the fact they're trying to call for an interference on a Hail Mary is sad. That's where the Chiefs fans and TV folks that are dying to get this game into overtime. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that, but I was interested
in the
past.
Well, there were plenty of people that were.
Right. The
one
on
negative.
MVS.
Thank you for finding
you're welcome. I would also add this, I said this on Green Bay game night after you departed. I was really impressed with Patrick Mahomes, who basically said, look, they're letting guys play at the end of a game. I need to go win the game, and we need to go win the game. We can't be relying on a pass interference penalty.
Well, the pick, what a play. I mean, I thought for certain Jordan Love was going to have the ball in his hands again down, having to go down and win.
Right.
And Keyshawn Nixon said,
is that your positive? Is that what you're saying?
A lot of positives. A lot of positives.
Do you have one that you like better than that? Because I thought that one was the potential high-hanging fruit, and that's where I was going to go, but now you've mentioned it.
Right? Well, no, I just think Keyshawn Nixon, he draws that punch penalty on that.
And doesn't punch back.
Doesn't punch
back. As Matt LaFleur points out.
No, Keyshawn.
Profanely.
Just, he got that dog in him.
Very much so.
And it's confidence, and he, you know, sometimes he returns kicks from the back end line, and you're like, all right. But early in the season, he's trying to make stuff happen. I think he needs to be a little more selective with that. But I love his attitude. He's, you know, I think he watched Sewell. And it's crazy because we were all, when they got rid of Rasul Douglas, looking at like, ah, this season, they're kind of. These guys know what they have. They trusted their process. And for all of you, and I'm looking at you specifically, Bash and Goody at any point.
Don't do this.
I'm not going to.
You just did.
But what I'm going to say.
Bashing is not what I did.
What I'm going to say is he's really good at his job.
He certainly appears to be right now.
No,
we were not. Well, but again.
He's
this,
really good at his job.
Jesse, what was your positive?
Let me get the numbers here because I wanted to make sure I get it all right. First drive of the game.
Why are you talking like a
I don't know.
Let me get my numbers.
Mr. Tauscher going.
No, down. That was weird. I come in and he said that this morning.
Like, good morning, said, Mr. Tauscher. And he's like, don't.
Don't do that.
not having it. First drive, 13 plays, 75 yards, 747.
Longest drive of the season up on time.
That was awesome. Statement made out of the gates. Second game in a row where they win against a first-place team by getting the ball first, going down the field, putting points on the board. Right
and then
away.
Doing it on the next drive.
And
yep,
the next drive.
8 plays, 75 yards, touchdown in the second quarter. Third quarter, 7 plays, 67 yards. Like, they're going down the field and scoring points, putting it on the board, like sustaining these long drives. That's what's been missing all season long. They've done it now 2 straight weeks. This is awesome.
And that helps the defense.
Yep.
And it forces, boy, all of a sudden, Andy Reid, who never has been a stick-to-the-run guy, it forces you to maybe get a little antsier. Well, boy, are we going to have a hard time stopping this team? It all comes back to complementing every aspect of your football team. And when you can help your defense by putting up 14 right away, it makes your job easier as a play caller and as someone that loves to get after the quarterback.
For me, the biggest positive, and this is a huge credit to Goody, is that all
that pains you.
It doesn't pain
I'm
me.
I'm just telling you, you should see the text I got. Boy, is Wilde going to not apologize, but there were a lot of folks texting me saying, I can't wait to hear what Wilde has to say about what the job Brian Gutekunst has
done. So again, this is the pendulum of the season.
For sure.
Right? Because, and I think there were people that felt the same way I did of, I still think they're going to, they have the pieces to potentially be good in 24. Remember I said, the sky's the, what Jordan said in June, the sky's the limit for this team. I said, yeah, maybe in 24. Because I didn't think that this was going to work quickly. And for a big chunk of this season, the idea of them all growing together did not look like such a great idea.
Did not. October swoon is what we call
okay?
it.
Okay? And now he does look really, really smart. Mm-hmm. And that's why you want the entirety of a season to play out before you make judgments and you make predictions and all those things. Look, Ben Sims had a touchdown last mm-hmm. night. This is a guy. Now they've had 3 rookie tight ends. First time in NFL history in the Super Bowl era that 3 rookie tight ends have each caught a touchdown for one team. Mm-hmm. Like, that illustrates how young they are and yet how it's all coming together. Christian Watson, he's got 4 touchdowns in 2 games. Now, again, he had one of those at the end of the game, is he still alive type injury
yeah.
situations. I mean, I've never seen a guy pull his hamstring while giving himself up to stay in bounds.
Is
a first for me.
Is it a hammy?
Yes. But Jaden Reed is continuing to make plays. Our guy Dontavion Wicks is making plays. Romeo Doubs, I mean, the catch that he makes on the 4th-and-1 where he was like an outfielder who had lost the ball in the lights and found it in just the right moment and made the catch with three defenders around.
The play was ridiculous.
Was that luck?
Yes.
No, I give Jordan Love credit for having an idea of where he was going to be and throwing it to that spot. It might have been a little bit of luck that he caught the ball.
Okay. But it looked better on TV than it did in the stadium last. I saw the highlight of it this morning.
I still can't believe you were right beneath Taylor Swift's
right
spot.
There.
That's
yeah.
incredible. So what I'm saying is all these young guys are playing really well, and that reflects extremely well on the general manager. And I don't think that there's going to be a pendulum swing back where we're going to be back to, was this a good idea to do this? I agree.
No,
turned out to be a really good idea. But I don't think anyone who's texting you can fault me for questioning it in October, because it was ugly. And the coach didn't trust that these guys knew what they were doing, and these guys didn't know what they were doing. And now the script has flipped. And yes, Goody deserves a ton of credit. And by the way, at no point on this show, we talked about how, hey, be careful what you wish for and all that. But I think we all acknowledged that it was kind of time with the way that things were going with the quarterback. I don't think any of us were like, oh, you should trade Jordan Love after an 8-9 season to keep Aaron Rodgers happy. And oh, by the way, the way the system is looking right now, when they actually run what Matt LaFleur calls more frequently, just like I said last week, I would have really liked to have seen old Uncle Aaron shepherd all these young guys and have Goody get them all this young talent and him then shepherd them into being good players. I am starting to find myself wondering, how good could this offense have looked if you had just done what the head coach wanted you to do all the time? I do find myself wondering that.
I don't even a little bit. That is gone and over. I am excited and I think a little surprised that it's this quick in this process.
And you are an admitted Goody stan.
Well, I'm talking about with Jordan. I thought the Jordan Love experiment was going to be, yes, it was a roller coaster. The last month has been nothing roller coaster about it. It has just been an ascension.
He's ascending. On a sky glider right now.
Yeah, and by the way, he's a Pro Bowl quarterback in the NFC right now. That's all I got to say.
No, that's not all you got to say. No, you also have to tell us about AmFam.
Oh, what they've got going bowl on with the games Badgers. Coming. We got. Oh, I was at the. I had a really nice sports weekend. Kind of covered all the bases. AmFam wants to have you go and experience everything VIP. Courtside passes for a Badger basketball game. You get a bunch of Badger swag. Go to AmFam.com/Badgers. AmFam.com/Badgers to get signed up for that fun contest. No purchase is necessary. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
Did you just do that from memory? I've never seen you do that before.
I like having script just to kind of remind me. But we had our winners of the big Tundra Trio tailgate last night. A beautiful family from Atlanta, I believe.
Atlanta?
In Georgia. Yeah, it's a big operation. And we got pictures, and it was a fantastic night with the snow kind of cresting in the backdrop of Lambeau here, and then went to the game, and a beautiful night.
Cresting in.
Cresting.
844-770-3776. Exactly. We've gotten to our positives and negatives. Now it's your turn. We'll get to your calls next. Packers beat the Chiefs. They're 6-6. They don't feel 6-6. Like Matt LaFleur at one point last night said, we're a 500 team. And it's easy to forget that because that's not what they feel like right now. Your positives and negatives next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. With delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian, Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
It's Dominic the Donkey, jingety-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la la la, la 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 la, la la la, la la la.
All right, let's get to it. 844-770-3776. Jesse, you're the statistician around here, even though Derek Blakesley, I know, was a Hall of Fame statistician at Reedsburg High School. What's the earliest we've gotten a call in league history?
We have had someone call in 2 minutes before the show began.
Oh, okay. All right.
-2 in the minute differential.
All right. So Luke and DeForest, according to Hunter, called 4 minutes into the show. So it's not a record, but it is nice and early, and we've got full phone lines. I'm very excited about this. Let's start with Luke in one of the greatest places in the world, DeForest, Wisconsin. Luke is in a helicopter, apparently, above DeForest. Luke, good morning. How are you today?
It's on speaker in the car, but yeah. You can play Toyota.
Do we think that's Luke, or do we think that's our phone lines?
It could be both.
Because that sounds choppy.
That's pretty choppy. Should I call that?
Yeah, we'll fast pass you to the front of the line, but now I'm nervous.
Yeah, it might be like that.
Let's try another one.
Oh boy. We'll just need to have Hunter summarize the calls.
Better to Hunter off the air.
but Hunter will be able to decide.
Let's try another one because we've had some technical difficulties. So, let's go to David in Kenosha. The chopper. David, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm doing very well. Before we get to positives and negatives, just an initial thought. Looking over the Packers schedule from beginning up until where we are right now, and I think the Packers are 2 plays and a goofy quarter in Atlanta away from being 9-3. And that sounds insane, but I think it was the Raiders and Steelers game at the end of the game where they threw the attempting game-winning touchdown pass to Christian Watson, and both were intercepted between the Raiders and Steelers games. Mm-hmm. And those very well could have gone the other way.
Saints game could have went the other way too, though, in fairness.
That's true. They miss a field goal at the end that would have won it for the Saints. Yep.
Correct. Yes. But hypothetically speaking, I mean, that is insane to say when most of us, probably 99.9% of us, went into this season thinking this is a 6-7 win team at best this year with the youngest team in the league, and especially on offense. And it's just one of those seasons where we're thinking this is one of those years where it's all about chemistry, developing the first and second year offensive weapons with or around Jordan Love and just developing that chemistry. So going into 2024, we're going to potentially see, you know, a bright future for the Green Bay Packers. I think they're ahead of schedule, and
no doubt
some of the positives. Jordan Love, you know, what made Aaron Rodgers so great? He just doesn't turn the ball over. And that's one of those statistics that may never be beat for Aaron Rodgers. But the last handful of games, Jordan Love is not turning the ball over. And you cannot play you have to play mistake-free football, especially against teams like the Lions, especially against teams like the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. They give up the ball maybe one time yesterday, and that could just end up losing you the game, especially you're playing against
him. Yeah, that's what LaFleur said to him in the locker room at halftime was, hey, it's all about the ball. Whoever gets the one takeaway in this game is going to win the game. And that was an enormous play by Keyshawn Nixon. All right, David, what's your negative before we go?
None. Zero. Oh, because this is a team that the expectations of where we have them should be tempered, especially with this season, and they're performing above those. So,
yeah,
I mean,
look, I'm glad you brought up Valentine, David, because, look, I said it about 2024, basher though I may be. They are way ahead of schedule, and they're also no longer a veteran group on defense that much either. I mean, Corey Ballantyne and Valentine being your two corners yet again, that's not a bunch of experienced guys who played 100 games in the league. Mm-hmm. They had Anthony Johnson Jr. out there again in their dime
Lucas
package.
Lucas Van Ness makes a
head
playoff
of sack. Right. Yep. So this is, if you were one of the people that thought this was possible, when we went into the season, that this many young guys could come together the way they have this season, good for you. I thought they were building toward 24. And I still think from a Super Bowl contender, really strong playoff contender perspective, that still is the timeline. But there's no denying that they have sped it up immensely. I know nobody is vinyl making a comeback? What is it, 78, it's like 33 a vintage, and a third?
Yeah.
Like they sound like the Chipmunks right now. That's how fast that they're playing right now compared to where we expected them to be.
Yeah, and by the way, and I didn't mean to jump in, but I did. There's no reason to temper expectations now about playoffs. Like, we're done with that.
Right.
The tempering happened already. No more tempering.
No.
What's the opposite of tempering?
Not tempering.
That's great.
You said I didn't mean to jump in, but I did. So don't critique my tempering.
I feel like when people are saying...
Let it rip. Let it rip is the difference.
No. We're fans. You're not, but let it rip. Don't temper. Tempura it. Fry it.
Don't
Let's go.
Temper it. Tempura it.
I'm still. Did you say I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did? Like just recapping what you did, or saying I didn't mean to, but I did mean to.
No, I just when we're now sitting here saying that we all didn't expect this, which is very fair, but now we're here and this team is playing really good football.
They are
and ascending. Let's cut the. Oh, I don't know. No, we're a playoff team, and now let's continue to improve and make some noise.
Yeah, I am the king of tempering.
It's over.
I can't do it.
Tempura it.
Don't temper it. Tempura it. All right. 844-770-3776. We need to take a break, and then Luke in DeForest has landed the choppa, and he's apparently ready now. So he's going to fast pass back to the front of the line. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll spend the rest of the show taking your calls because I want to get where people are at.
Mm-hmm.
Are they tempering, for lack of a better term? 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. More of your calls next. It's Will D'Antosh.
Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza. With delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian, Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer.
All right, let's get back to Luke and DeForest, and then we'll spend the entirety of the 10 o'clock hour on all the calls. There are a couple of open lines if you haven't gotten in yet, but you will be at the back of the line, but we'll get to you eventually. 844-770-3776. 27-19, the Packers beat the defending Super Bowl champs. They are now 6-6 and have won four of their last five games. Jordan Love threw two interceptions in Pittsburgh, which they lost. The other four games, zero interceptions. Mm-hmm. He is playing fantastic football. Let's talk to Luke in DeForest. Luke, welcome back, buddy. How you sounding this time around?
Am I in a helicopter?
No, you've landed. Good
yeah.
work.
I landed on a quick trip so that you could actually hear me. I was on 94.
Perfect.
So that's probably it. Anyway,
can you pick me up some Glazers and a cup of coffee? Because we don't have coffee here.
Quick Trip coffee this morning.
How do you think I can make a coffee run in one segment here when we need that?
Well, do we really need you?
We're gonna be fine. We'll weather.
Fine. I'll just. I mean, I got some Christmas shopping to do. I could just go
out and hit the mall. Everybody see those sweet tan pants that you got? All right, what do we got,
sweet.
Adam?
Sorry. Except it's Luke.
Oh, is it Luke?
It is good!
It's so good.
I'll go get that coffee right now.
All right, Adam.
All right, Luke. Our apologies.
Okay,
bad, Adam.
My positive is Joe Barry and his game plan.
Yeah.
Did that not feel like late '90s scheming against Favre in Tampa, where they just like wait for him to get impatient and try to go deep? And then miss one of the less than stellar receivers in Kansas City. Like,
yeah.
They just said, all right, you can have a couple body shots here or there, but you're not knocking us out. And I thought it was a phenomenal game plan. My only negative, and it's probably being nitpicky, is the pad level on trying to tackle Pacheco, who looks like he's mad at the ground when he runs.
It's fun to watch.
Have you ever, Luke, have you ever seen, and again, I know this is a little bit of hyperbole, but I was trying to think, I don't know how many guys I've seen that are faster to the hole than he is. And then there's this thing about him where you think he's all bottled up, and then he like pops out the other side. Like there he is. Like there's all these guys around him, and he still ends up on the other side of the pond. I was listening to one of the Kansas City beat writers, and they said Packers fans, even though they're cheering against him, are really going to like watching this guy. And I agree. It was fun to watch him.
He hits the hole so hard, but still has the patience to let this team play out. Now, they have a much better offensive line, objectively speaking, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't just run violently. Speaking of, though, there was an added level of violence and, like, hit and spin that kind of looked like prime cheeseburger Eddie from A.J. Dillon last night. I know that we didn't say, like, the run game was phenomenal, but he was just landing shot after shot on that front seven. And I don't know about the rotating of the offensive linemen. That's kind of a concept that's never really been done at any level that I've seen, other than maybe Pop Warner. But he was – I thought he was a force in that game. He doesn't have the home run ability. And I would say that our interior – maybe not Jenkins, but the right side there. Make it a little harder for him to hit it with the same head of steam, but the patience. And then when he's getting there, like there was that run that took him to, it was third or second and 10, and then became third and 3 because he just pile drives 7 yards. Like there's a couple unsung plays on that stat sheet that ended up being like 4 yards a carry that you just don't win the game, I don't think, if he doesn't just pound Kansas City's defense.
Yeah, I agree, but I want to go back to your first point, Adam, Luke, and that is, and thanks for the call. The point that he made about Joe Barry, and you made a similar point as we were kind of going through the rough patch of this season where the defense was keeping them in games, they don't give up big plays.
They don't.
They just don't. And you know, what I thought was weird going into the season was that Matt LaFleur basically said, without saying it, he's saying it but not saying it, I kept Joe Barry, but I didn't keep his defense. I wanted him to do things differently. It appears that they have blended his desire with still the Joe Barry and the whole Vic Fangio philosophy of make them go all the way down the field, dink and dunk, and don't give up big plays. They don't give up big plays, and they're in the top 10 in the red zone. And that, in today's NFL, Joe Barry deserves a ton of credit because the way this defense is playing is the way you have to play it to be successful. You're not going to shut everybody. There are a few teams that are dominant defenses. They're not that, but, man, they do not get beat for big-time explosive plays.
No, there's
and that's
still,
huge.
There's still things that will drive you nuts. Third and 7, give up an easy 8. But in the big scheme of today's NFL, this is the way you do it. You tighten up, you hold teams to field goals, you try to make some turn. And the thing that I'd like to see a little bit more of is turnovers, and that's something that come, you know, they come in bunches. But you're going to be playing some bad teams. I'd like to see that part of the defense improve. But when you don't give up big plays and you don't get penalized a ton, you're going to have a very successful time because, especially in today's NFL with the offenses the way they are, teams struggle. Kansas City, they moved the football last night, but they ended up with 19 points. You look at on the whole for the season outside of the Detroit game, round one, they've been hovering at that 16 to 20 pretty much every week, and that gives you a chance even when your offense isn't playing great.
You chose to wear your new Tito's scarf.
I did.
Knowing that you had promised me one like 7 years ago. That's fine. No, I believe you. But tell me more about Tito's right now.
Well, Tito's handmade vodka on game day. Pour me in, coach, from a seat in the stands to the best seat on the couch. Not for your favorite team with your favorite team spirit. Stack a spicy Bloody Mary. That'd be good right now. You could salt the rim of a Titorita during halftime. Or, for me, I had a Tito's and cranberry last night post-game after I was done with all my work. That's what savored my big victory, the big victory for the Green Bay Packers, and for us as fans yesterday's. You can find other recipes. You can find scarves. Matter of fact, I had some guy on the escalator saying, "Hey, great scarf. Where'd you get it?" And I said, "From Tito's." He goes, "Well, no blank. It says Tito's on this. Where'd you get it?" I said, "Go to Tito'sVodka.com. Go ahead and take a look. I don't even know if it's on there."
Oh, my God.
I love Tito's. Crafted to be savored responsibly.
So was that a positive interaction? Or
I don't think it was. He kind of gave me a look like, "No blank, idiot. It's a Tito's scarf. I know. How do I get one?"
And you said, "Adam, go to Tito'sVodka.com. The 10 o'clock hour will begin with more of your calls, so stick around. We're back in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.